Welcome to Animal Companions. This is Joyce, your radio reading service volunteer broadcaster, welcoming you to this edition of Animal Companions, where we read about the animals in our lives and how they affect us. Today I'll be reading another part from Piglet, The Unexpected Story of a Deaf-Blind Pink Puppy and His Family, written by Melissa Shapiro, veterinarian, and if we have some time, I'll be reading some articles and newsletters about the animals in our lives. We're going to start today's readings with Piglet by Melissa Shapiro. In the last reading, we learned that Piglet had made his New York City debut as a fashion show aficionado when he was dressed as a cowboy and was a big success, which led to more appearances at various shows and also in classrooms. Once I've formed a strong stance, there's usually not much that will change my mind. But in keeping with the principle of growth mindset, Piglet helped me see that sometimes reconsidering and being flexible can be a good thing. In this case, I had to let go of the old idea that I wasn't a dog stroller mom. The pet fashion show goodie bag, full of party favors, samples, Piggy's costume, and accessories, was too much for me to carry on top of everything else that I had brought. If I was going to be walking, and I like to walk, I couldn't go into the city or any place else where I had to transport Piglet in a carrier and carry a backpack filled with supplies. My shoulders and back had protested too fiercely this time around. At the fashion show, I had seen lots of little dogs in strollers, and they seemed to really enjoy their comfy coaches. The dogs had plenty of room to ride in style. There were storage baskets underneath, and I could almost imagine Piglet napping peacefully, all snuggled up in his favorite blankies, in a stroller. Whatever old ideas I had about the stigma of a dog stroller, I knew it was time to let them go. When I got on the train, I Googled dog strollers and came up with a few options to consider. I tucked the idea away because we had no immediate travel plan. But sooner or later, with more trips on the horizon, a dog stroller would definitely be on our short list. Being self-employed gave me the freedom to set my own schedule, which meant that travel for events with Piglet wasn't too much of a problem. The challenge came in making arrangements for the care of the other dogs and the birds, and in the case of pet emergencies for my clients, letting them know I'd be away and who to contact with concerns. Also, even when Warren stayed home to take care of our menagerie, we still had to have vet techs who could be there to help when he was at work or had his own work travel. As we all knew, baby Piglet loved his favorite dad most of all, but he was good to go with his mom, me, when we were heading out for activities. Even when I invited him to come along, Warren usually said, "No, I'll stay home and hold down the fort." Then, with deadpan delivery, he'd add, "Don't forget to text pictures and videos." Under most circumstances, whether we were flying, going by train, or driving, I didn't mind heading out with just Piglety. But there were certain times when I was really happy Warren agreed and was able to join us, as was the case with a long-planned trip to the very first Special Canine Games to be held in Columbus, Ohio, in May of 2018. Toward the end of April, I took the plunge. It was a dramatic move in and of itself, though I tried to be prudent, telling Warren, "I'm just ordering this cheap jogger-style stroller for Piglet." My logic was that I shouldn't get anything really fancy because I probably was not going to get much use out of it. The day the stroller arrived, I was very excited to try it out. My first jaunt brought it back fond memories of the blue baby jogger I'd have for running and walking with our young Shapiros when they were babies and toddlers. The spin also revealed that the stroller's canopy had a faulty zipper that kept sliding open, something that could be a real issue for Piglet. He needs the canopy to stay closed so that he doesn't accidentally bounce or climb out. Sometimes you have to be ready for a little trial and error when it comes to pet supplies, but once I found the right model, we were in business. Piglet loved his stroller right from the start. It was the perfect size, it folded up easily, and it wasn't too heavy. Our ability to travel was transformed. It was one of the best purchases I had made for my tiny pink dog. His stroller lets him feel comfortable and safe. It's his private chamber, allowing him downtime and real privacy. It is all his. Piglet was on the move, no question about it. His stroller went everywhere that he did, including to Columbus, Ohio, where we experienced a series of more firsts that I later captured in an article about our adventure. And here's the article. With the theme Be Brave, the special canine games were created to encourage people with special needs dogs to become active with them, step out of their comfort zones, build trust, and enjoy being with their dogs. The special dog, who attended with the devoted mom and dad, were there to learn new skills, improve their current skills, and then compete. The dogs came with varying abilities and training, but embraced the spirit of joining in and moving past their individual challenges. Events included agility, nose work, lure coursing, frisbee, and tricks. Our little Piglet was the smallest dog attending. He was one of the only few deaf-blind dogs. I decided to bring him to this first special canine games because I wanted to meet others who were involved in taking care of and advocating for special needs dogs. I wanted to broaden Piglet's world, give him new experiences, and see just what he was capable of. Piglet cautiously tried the agility equipment on Saturday during the workshop. With each run through, he became more comfortable with each obstacle. On Sunday morning, we arrived to watch, he's blind, the competition. It seemed a far reach for Piglet to actually compete and complete the agility course in a reasonable amount of time. The organization encouraged us to sign on and to have him compete. It didn't take much convincing. Piglet's name and credentials were added to the roster. Piglet enthusiastically completed his first special games agility competition run. He did not do the tunnel because I wasn't willing to crawl into the tunnel to guide him through. But he jumped over jumps, went through short tunnels, sat on the platform table for the required 5 seconds, walked over the dog walk, jumped through the tire, and scaled the A-frame before he finished his run with an adorable, happy prance and a final sit. He won second place ribbon in the deaf blind agility division, and he left lots of smiles in his path. Reflecting on our inspiring and motivating experience at the games relative to the current world events, having my 5.5-pound dog participate in dog agility events seemed rather trivial. But in our little world, which we still do live in, witnessing our profoundly disabled tiny man Piglet participate and enjoy an activity meant for the finest of athletic dogs was quite a heartwarming thrill. We met over 40 dogs and 100 people at the first special canine games, all there with their deaf and blind and mobility impaired dogs from similar reasons and for similar activities. The fact is that at every level, dogs enjoy learning, participating, and bonding with their people. Special need dogs are absolutely no different. After the first day of the games was over, we headed out to downtown Columbus to find a place to eat dinner. We had just parked our car and gone to look at the menu outside one restaurant main entrance. Not finding anything of interest on the menu, Warren turned to walk over to the next restaurant, when out of nowhere a woman stopped directly in front of him and exclaimed, "I know you." Warren initially thought it was someone he had met at a national sales meeting from work, but then she said again, as she looked at me, added, "I know you too." Before we could respond, the woman practically shouted at us, "You're Piglet's favorite dad, and you're his mom." Warren and I looked at each other, probably both thinking that she had seen our Piglet shirts, but they were underneath our jackets, so she actually recognized us. The woman signaled her two embarrassed friends, who by now were nervously smiling as they watched their friend approach complete strangers on the sidewalk in downtown Columbus. "Ooh, come meet the favorite dad of Piglet and the deaf-blind pink puppy," she said loudly to her friends. She told them and us how much she loved Piggy and was dying to meet him. "Is he back at the hotel?" she asked. Warren and I looked at each other, looked at the car, and pointed. It had begun to rain, but not too hard. We shrugged, and across the street we went so she could meet the tiny pink man. "You know, I'm a dog person," she admitted, mentioning that she worked as a dog groomer. When we got Piggy out of the car, he gave her his signature tail-wagging greeting, kissed her, and recorded her smells into his friend database. Zoe and Evie came out to say hi as well. After we took lots of pictures, our new friend kissed him goodbye and gave him hugs, and back to me and Warren and told us, "I've been following Piglet since he was a tiny little foster puppy. Meeting him in person tonight will keep me smiling for a very long time. What an amazing surprise this has been. I'm so glad you kept him." On the trip home, Warren and I talked about the fact that Pigletty had without a doubt added meaning, purpose, and yes, character building challenges to our lives, far beyond what might have seemed possible a year earlier. The beauty of having a family pack of dogs, as we do, was recognizing that each of them had achieved their own identity and manner of contribution to the greater good of the others and us. That understanding got us onto the subject of how our dogs all had a designated role that they played in the family. We hadn't consciously set out to do it, but the practice had evolved naturally around the time that we started saying Annie's job was getting the mail. When we say that each dog has a job, it means that each has a little thing that we do with them and no one else. It's something noticeable that they do that is unique to them. Warren and I agree that it's important for the dogs to feel that they are special individuals. Neither one of us could remember when we started identifying these jobs, although it very well may have been an extension of the Shapiro rules, which, looking back, were actually a variation of the growth mindset thinking before the term existed in our household. Evie, the most people-friendly of the entire seven pack, had long excelled in her top job as a demo dog for my veterinary workshops and was the anchor of the travel team, which was composed of her, Zoe, Piglet, and whenever possible, Gina. Even though Evie is not a certified therapy dog, she certainly would pass the tests required. Whenever we meet anyone in need of comfort and calming, Evie takes on that job instinctively. On one family trip, Rachel noticed that a family couldn't get their daughter to stop crying after she'd fallen on the boardwalk. We brought Evie over to work her magic. The little girl took one look at Evie's big, black, concerned eyes and grew silent. The next thing we knew, she was petting and hugging our white, fluffy poodle mix, her tears long forgotten. On that same day, we also met a disabled woman who was sitting on a picnic table next to us. Evie insisted on meeting her, and the two became instant friends. The woman, because of her limited mobility, started to pet Evie with a pounding motion, apologizing, "I'm so sorry. I hope I'm not hurting her." We assured her Evie likes the attention. She knows you're just showing her love. If you were hurting her, she would move away. Now that Piglet was with us, Evie's responsibilities had expanded to being part of Piglet's show when we visited schools and classrooms, not just during the act, but before and after. She was like a magnet for students who enjoyed hugging and petting her softly, fluffy white coat, never minding how many were doing it at the same time. Zoe also has a few jobs, being on the travel team and adding delightful bits of humor as a member of the supporting cast of the Piglet show. Her main job, though, is as my special first lap dog. In hindsight, I think she also assigned herself the job of making sure that Piglet didn't steal all of the focus in the household just by remaining the quirky, authentic chocolate chip character that she is. Beautiful Gina has the job of riding in the car with me whenever possible. She knows it's her job and never complains, even if it means she will spend time waiting for me in her crate. She is fine with it. She has counted countless miles accompanying Rachel and the rest of us on college tours, followed by well over 15 trips to Ohio once Rachel became a student there. Riding in the car with me is not just about physically being a presence in the back. Gina's job is also to lend her loving, healing presence to me when I'm on the go. Maybe it's because she has also reminded me of April, not only in looks, but in her connection. But Gina is a thinking dog. She takes time to observe and to react to the way I'm feeling. I generally don't see dogs as having empathy, but if they do, Gina is definitely an empathic dog. Most of the time, Gina was part of the travel team, but once Piglet came, he bumped her to the home team on those instances when we can only bring three dogs. "Your job is to be part of the home team, Gina, so help Dean while I'm gone." She never took the news well. She has severe anxiety when I leave, but she adapts and is flexible about whenever it is asked of her. Then again, helping Dean to her as usually meant barking at him whenever he starts to bark. I was still working on convincing Dean that barking wasn't his job. His actual job was sitting on the couch. Warren wondered at times if we were treating Dean as an underachiever. My response to that, as I remarked on our drive home from Columbus, was that's just his obvious job. Less obvious was the responsibility of being sweet and keeping the home team members, Susie and Annie, happy. Dean knows he has a little posse of girls and is masterful at the job. The three loved one another deep, and they included Gina in the mix, thanks to Susie, our nurturer-in-chief, making sure that no one ever felt left out. Next week, we'll read The Power of Pink in Chapter 11 of Piglet, The Unexpected Story of a Deaf-Blind Pink Puppy and His Family by Melissa Shapiro. What's your favorite dog breed? Well, the next article will help you find out how your dog breed got its name. Do you love dogs? From royal companions to fearless hunters, and from German badger dogs to barkless African hounds, the names of our favorite breeds often hold surprising stories. Whether you're a fan of the stoic mastiff, the sassy poodle, or the majestic husky, there's a tale behind each name that might surprise you. Let's dig in. The husky is a beautiful blue-eyed dog, and it's inseparable from dog sledding lore. The breed's name evolved from the word Eskimo. English sailors once slurred Eskimo into Usky or Huskimaw, which eventually transformed into Husky. Dachshund. What's not to love about the wiener dogs? Their original name, however, refers not to their iconic sausage shape, but to the purpose for which the breed was developed. Dachshunds were bred to hunt badgers and other burrowing animals. Dachshunds, with their long bodies and short legs, make them ideal for digging into tunnels. The name in German, compound of Dachs, meaning badger, and Hund, meaning dog, together it becomes badger dog. Schnauzer. There are three beloved varieties of Schnauzer, miniature, standard, and giant, and each has had its moment in pop culture. The breed takes its name from the distinctive mustache, or Schnauz, meaning snout in German, literally meaning snouter or muzzle. Originally, Schnauzers were used as rat catchers and guard dogs in Germany. The Doberman often played as guard dogs or police canines in films, but the Dobermans were named after Carl Friedrich Louis Doberman, a 19th century German tax collector who developed the breed as a loyal and protective companion for his dangerous rounds. The Corgi? Well, Queen Elizabeth's beloved Welsh Corgis made the breed internationally famous. In Welsh, Cor means dwarf, and Gi, a soft mutation of Si, means dog, so Corgi translates to dwarf dog. Indeed, the breed originated in Wales, where it was used for herding cattle by nipping at their heels. Over time, corgis also became a cultural symbol of British royalty. The Basenji is known as the barkless dog of Central Africa because of its unique larynx structure, which produces a yodel-like sound, baroo, instead of a bark. The name Basenji comes from a Bantu language and roughly translates to village dog or bush thing. The breed is ancient and was used for hunting in the Congo. The Labrador Retriever. Do you know that the Labrador Retriever has been America's most popular dog breed for decades? Despite its name, the breed did not originate in Labrador. Rather, it originated in Newfoundland. It was called Labrador because British breeders associated the dogs with the Labrador Sea and the nearby region, while Retriever refers to the breed's role in hunting. Of course, there's the Golden Retriever. And did the Golden Retriever retrieve gold? Short answer, no. Like Labradors, they were bred to retrieve game for hunters, but the golden name, part of that, refers to their beautiful coat. The breed was developed in Scotland in the 19th century by crossing several breeds to create an obedient, water-loving gun dog. Beagle. Snoopy is perhaps the most famous beagle out there, even though we only saw him in a black and white cartoon. The origin of this beloved breed's name is debated. It may be derived from the old French biguel, meaning open throat, a nod to their braying howls. Others trace it to the Celtic or Old English word meaning small. Poodle, always pampered and impeccably groomed. If the term poodle has always reminded you of puddles, you're not far off. The name comes from the German pudel or pudelin, meaning to splash in water. Poodles were originally bred as water retrievers, so their name reflects their aquatic work. Pug. Pugs' features and expressive faces have made them the source of comic relief in pop culture. There's no consensus about the origin of their name, though. Some say it is derived from the Latin pugnus, meaning fist, perhaps referencing their squished fist-like face. Others say that it is the 18th century England pug, who was also a term of endearment for something small and compact looking. And there's a boxer. That's the athletic, energetic, and full of protective instinct. The boxers are truly family guardians. But why the name boxer? It is thought that it comes from the breed's tendency to use its front paws in play, like a boxer in the boxing ring. Another theory links the name to the German word Boxel, a nickname for the breed in Bavaria. And of course, there's the very large Mastiff. As calm and noble as they are huge, Mastiffs were named after the old French mastin, or the Latin mastus, meaning tame or domesticated. Despite their imposing size, Mastiffs were bred to guard homes and estates while remaining loyal and gentle with their owners. Now you know how your favorite breed got its name. Careers and Canine Connections 2025. During the last week of July, a cohort of young adults ages 18 to 24 from across the country joined us in Oregon for our annual Careers in Canine Connections, known as the CCC program, a collaborative effort between Guide Dogs for the Blind and APH Career Connect, a program of the APH Connect Center. The week-long retreat offered a deep dive into the career explorations, how a guide dog fits into the future employment for some who are blind or who have low vision. Participants engaged in practical career training activities, including seminars on everything from job search, interviewing, dress for success, to networking, advocacy, and workplace accommodations. The group heard from guest speakers who were blind or low vision talking about their various careers and participated in an interactive panel interview with a number of Guide Dogs for the Blind staff members to learn about the staffers' roles and career paths. Matthew Small from Southern California is about to start college where he plans to study history. He said the most impactful career information he gained during the week was learning about employee rights that are protected by the Americans with Disability Act. I really liked learning about the ADA and what I am able to ask for in regard to accommodations in the workplace, as well as what I am able not to ask for, Matthew said. Learning more about how to advocate for myself to get what I need was one of the biggest insights I've gained from this program. Elizabeth Winfield, a college student from Austin, Texas, enjoyed learning from the program's guest speakers, particularly Satona Howery, a voiceover actor. Hearing Satona talk about the importance of having enthusiasm for what you do was a takeaway for me. Her career is in such a competitive industry, and if it weren't something she was passionate about, she may not have had the opportunity or stuck it out as long as she did. Fellow CCC participant Carly Little from Pennsylvania agreed, "We need that there's more time than just skill to choosing a career path. There's a passion and there's an energy that go into making you good at your job." An introduction to guide dog lifestyle was also a strong dual emphasis of the CCC program. Each participant had the opportunity to care for a dog overnight and was responsible for the dog's well-being, including grooming, feeding, relieving, and play. A highlight of the week was getting to visit the Oregon campus where everyone had the opportunity to work with a guide dog as well as explore how guide dogs might fit into their future employment. I have been fascinated by how guide dogs can transform a person's life, said Melinda Mendoza, a student studying cognitive science and music at the University of California, Berkeley. My decision to attend Careers in Canine Connections comes from a deep desire to better understand what having a guide dog means in terms of mobility, independence, and professional development. The opportunity to experience firsthand how a guide dog can fit into my daily life is very exciting, especially as I consider my future career of becoming a music therapist. And then there's Jane Flowers, Guide Dog's Youth Outreach Program Director, said that introducing the guide dog lifestyle to the young adults attending the CCC provides insight into the mobility options a guide dog can provide for travel to and from work and while on the job, as well as having social benefits. Jane, would you know? She has a guide dog named Pilaf, and beyond the enhanced independence she experiences work with Pilaf, she enjoys the companionship of having a dog by her side as well. Having a guide dog bridges the gap with people. Using a cane and having good orientation and mobility skills for independent travel are also very important, but a guide dog can be an icebreaker with people. A dog is something that will attract people, maybe make them want to come to talk to you. Amid all the learning opportunities and dog cuddles, there was plenty of fun and friendship at the CCC. Activities such as sensory garden exploration, archery, swimming, and campfires rounded out the week. A doggone good time was had by all. This article, Careers and Canine Connections, 2025. Well, that brings us to the conclusion of Animal Companions for today. I hope you enjoyed the readings, and I invite you back again next time to hear more stories about the animals in our lives and how they affect us. Until then, this is Joyce for Animal Companions and for Sun Sounds of Arizona, a radio reading service. Be well, everyone. Be happy. Stay healthy. Bye-bye.